my Pastor Chu. I'm the senior pastor of this church for a few months more, all right? And after that, I'm going to transit even to the next younger group of pastors who will take over from me. I've led this church now as senior pastor for 30 years, all right? 30 years, amen. And praise God, God is so good. I'm still strong. I'm 78 years old this year, and God has given me the strength to carry on, and I will still be around for many more years to come. The Lord said, 5 more Olympic Games. 5 more Olympic Games. Amen. Whoa. Praise the Lord. I'm going to share with you a message this morning entitled, He is Risen. He is risen. The reason why I say He is risen, because He's alive. And where did I get this from? I get this from what an angel said to the ladies who came to the tomb over 2,000 years ago to look for the body of Jesus. But when they came to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away. They were startled. They were afraid. And the angel said to them, to the women, do not fear. Fear not. Because they were afraid. They were bewildered. They were astonished. What has happened? We came to see the body of Jesus. But then the angel said, I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But the good news is, He is not here. Why? Because Jesus has risen. As He said, come on, let's give God a clap offering, amen. He has risen. He is not here, as He has said. In other words, not only that Jesus said this before He was crucified, but even was prophesied years and years, centuries, even before Jesus was born. He is risen. As He said, come, come, come. See the place where He lay. It is a fact. Is not a fiction. So I'm going to share with you this theme, this message, the central fundamental of the implication and the reason and the meaning of Easter. Indeed, He is risen. Many of you know this popular sports magazine called Sports Illustrated. That's Kobe Bryant. All right. So this magazine is very well known and famous for its annual female swimsuits, and people buy it. It's one of those things that people buy, you know. And in the year 2001, Sports Illustrated gave a leading article on the 10 greatest comebacks in world history. Not only for sports, but for everything else. And you notice that number 5 was Muhammad Ali in the Rumble in the Jungle, where he defeated Josh Foreman in Zaire in a boxing bout. And he came back again and went on to become world champion for 3 more years, but for 3rd time. Number 2 was Germany and Japan. After the devastation of World War II, they came back big time and became one of the most industrialized countries, even up to today. Biggest comeback. But number 1. Was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, 33 AD, defies critics, stunned the Romans with His resurrection. Then my point is this, even a secular magazine acknowledged the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only the greatest comeback, but a comeback that changed the whole trajectory of our lives and history. He is risen. And that is a central theme of the Easter message. Man, I want to ask the question, so what, Pastor? Many of you, as you sit down there and listen to me online or on the overflow room, so what, Pastor? You know what? What is the implication for me? What has got to do with me? And I want to share this with you. And I will take my cue from 1 Thessalonians chapter 15. Most of my passages are from there, from the Bible. So what if He is risen? And Paul writes, the first reason why this is so important is this. If Christ, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, had not been raised, your faith as a Christian is futile. You are still in your sins. And that's tragic. That means if Jesus Christ had not risen from the grave, then every one of us would have died in our sin. There's no hope. Then those who have fallen asleep, not only now, but years and years ago, millions and billions of people, and in the years to come, are still lost. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, woe, Apostle Paul says, I pity you. You are of all people most to be pitied. What a shame. What a shame. But the fact remains that Jesus Christ died and He rose again. The cry of the early church when He went around and changed the entire trajectory and the landscape of the ancient world, when He went around preaching the gospel, was not, hey, the church is strong. Hey, the church is mighty. The church is growing. We are multiplying. Numbers are coming in the church. No, that was not their cry. Everywhere they went, the apostles only have one message. Jesus is alive. Christ is alive. Come on, let's give God a clap offering. And because of this conviction, they were prepared to give their lives, because it is true. Jesus is alive. But the first implication to you and to me, why it is so important for us to understand this fundamental of our Christian faith, is because if Christ had not risen, our faith would have been futile. What is futility? Futile means hopeless. Futile means worthless. Futile means pointless. Futile means absolutely useless, of no effect. Truly, if that is so, your faith, my faith, would have been futile. Not only for us, but for all the thousands and millions of people who have died earlier, especially those who have been martyred for their faith. During the Roman era, how many people gave their lives for their conviction? Are they stupid? Are they deceived or what? No. They went around so convinced that Jesus Christ died, rose again from the grave, and the grave is empty. He is alive. People who have been given out to the lions to be eaten, burned at a stake. He is alive. You know, when I was studying in the Bible school in Regent College, Vancouver, I went there for 2.5 years to do my master's in theology. During our history paper, we had to read the original manuscripts of the early church. So we went to the library and we dug up the original manuscripts and read and write a commentary on that. And I remembered one particular writing that I saw was what has been sort of taken out secretly from the gladiators and all the arena. And it was written by a leader of the Christian group who was discipling the Christians who were to be given to the lions in the dungeon. And as he himself was led to the lions mauled him, but he was still alive. His intestines were flowing out and he was so badly injured, but he thrown back into the dungeon so that he could be fed to the lions the next day or to die. And in his dying breath, he still continued to disciple and talk to the Christians there. And he said, friends, where did I leave off yesterday? Why? Why do people do that? Because of the conviction that Jesus Christ indeed is alive. And more recently, the picture on your right, the 20 Coptic Christians who were beheaded by ISIS in 2015 in a beach in Libya. Why did they do that? Why did he do that? Why will he do that if they are not convicted that Jesus Christ is alive? And not all of them are Christians, because you notice that this guy is black. Out of the 20, 19 were Egyptians, one from Africa. He's a Ghanaian by the name of Arayaga. His name is Arayaga. He was not a Christian. He was a pre-believer. And so ISIS asked him, are you a Christian? And when Arayaga saw the faith of the other 19, he said, their God is my God. I am a Christian. Why? Because the Holy Spirit prompted them, convicted them, that indeed Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and there is hope, my friend, there is hope. You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, among the final words that he said was this word, tetelestai, in Greek, called it is finished. Jesus did not say, I am finished. No, he's not finished. But it is finished. What is finished? His mission. His mission is finished. In Bahasa Malaysia, it's called sudah selesai. It's done. It's completed. What does it mean? Why did Jesus say and cried out triumphantly, it is finished, tetelestai? It means three things. It means that at the cross, his work of redemption is completed. A sinless man, only a sinless man without sin can die on your behalf and my behalf. Nobody else. Not Billy Graham, not Mother Teresa, even though how good they may be, not even any of those founders of religion, no matter how good they may be, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But because Jesus is the only sinless man, could he have sinned? Yes. I believe Jesus Christ could have sinned, but he did not sin. And because a sinless man was put on the cross, his precious blood was shed, our debt is fully paid. The debt of your sin and my sin is fully paid. And the sentence of sin again is fully served. And the most important thing is, the evil one is fully defeated. Come on, let's give God a good clap offering. This is the message of Easter. It is not just coming for a service and enjoying yourself with all the songs and worship. And so it's not that. The fundamental of Easter is because of what Jesus Christ had done on the cross. And he is risen. I just had a text this morning from my friend Daniel Ho. He said, Pastor, he said, Wing Chi, the Greek for he is risen is passive. In other words, he said that Jesus Christ did not raise himself. God raised his son from the dead. It's a passive. God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And in so doing, what happened is that the Father, God, validated the mission and the work of Jesus Christ as complete, as finished, tetelestai, selesai, all done. And by raising Jesus Christ from the dead, there is hope for forgiveness of your sin and my sin. Friends, but you don't tell me, Pastor, I got no sin one now. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has done wrong. If Christ had not risen from the dead, all of us will have no hope. But because Father God raised Jesus up from the dead, there is hope for you and for me. Through all the centuries, our sins can be washed away. And you know something? I've been a pastor now for 30 years, right? In fact, I was leading the church and pastoring and serving God for way even before that. And I know the lives transformed literally by hundreds, if not thousands of people. I can wax lyrical over so many testimonies I can share with you of lives being turned around. These are real true stories. I remember there was one gentleman, he was here yesterday and I asked permission for me to share his testimony. And this is something which none of us would probably go through. He was in debt for 4 billion ringgit. So I said, hey, you were in debt. He said, Pastor, you're wrong. It's 6 billion. During the credit crunch, he was in debt for 6 billion ringgit. And during the time, stress, depression came to him. How could he pay that? Everything fell through. Everything was collapsing in front of his eyes. His businesses, everything was going after him. The bank was going after him. And he contemplated so many things he could have done. But at a cruise in Norway, while he was in the church, the light shone through the stained glass windows. And he knew there was something. And on the first service in this church, the opening service in this church in 2006, the first service, he came and he gave himself to the Lord. He became a Christian. Come on, let's give God a clap offering. Amen. And today, he was here yesterday. There's peace. There is joy. There is hope inside him. Yeah, he just went through a recent tragedy in his family. But again, because of his faith in Jesus Christ, he told me, Pastor, I want to assure you, I will never leave Jesus. I will never leave Jesus. Why? Because he's found faith. He's found peace in the Lord. And I've seen so many people like that. It was one corporate lady as well. Stressed up. You know, in a dog-eat-dog society, there are so many issues in your life. Challenges, business, and all kinds of issues, family. And you're so depressed. And one day, she was cleaning the library in her house. And then as she was cleaning the top shelf, one book fell out. Of all the books, one book fell out. And she took that book. And guess what? It was the book written by me. I wrote this book many years ago on the wisdom of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I entitled that book, Is Life Worth Living? So strange. So he took hold of that book and read through it all in one sitting. She came to the church and gave herself to the Lord. And today, she is so much at peace. Amen? Troubles are still there, but she has found the peace of God. And more importantly, the God of peace. Come on, let's give God a clap offering. I'm sharing you with these stories to encourage you. Whatever situation that you are going through right now, the world may not give you solutions. It's not a formula, understand. It's believing in the resurrected Jesus Christ. You know, there is so many. I can tell so many stories. There's a gentleman here, a young adult, who came from China because he married a Malaysian girl. And when he came back to settle back in Malaysia, he was so disturbed. Why? Because he was not used to the Malaysian way of life. And they had constant quarrels, and their family, their marriage was fractured, you know, so much it was fragmented, and there's no peace, and then kind of upheaval in the home. And they came to the church, and I think Pastor Lee Chu ministered to them. And today, both of them accepted the Lord, and they are so much at peace. They're sitting here right now in front of me. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand. And recently, there's so much joy in them that they brought their father and their mother from China here, and both their parents accepted the Lord and was baptized. Just only this month. Isn't it amazing? Come on, you want to give God glory? Give him a good clap of glory. Amen. He is real. He is real, believe me. And he's so real that he has changed so many people's lives. And there is hope, my friend. Listen to me very carefully. There is hope. Just in case you tell me, Pastor, all these people are so good, but I'm an academic. It's not reasonable. You know, if my father-in-law is a very difficult man to witness to. He was Dato Liu Sip Hon, my wife's father. Very hard to witness to your in-laws, no? He tells me every time I share the gospel with him, he said to me, Christianity is for the weak. Only weak people become Christians. He said, no matter how much I share to him, Christianity is for the weak. And yet, several years later, he himself became a Christian. Come on, let's give glory. And when he became a Christian, he never stopped talking about Jesus Christ. He would get all his MCA people, you know, to have open house, purposely or open house, with the sole purpose of sharing to these MCA people the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, let's give God a good clap offering. No matter what I'm trying to share to you is this, no matter what your situation, young or old, whatever it is, God is real. God is real. You know, Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 14, verse 27, Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. The world can give you peace, but after that, that's it. But Jesus says, the peace that I give to you is different. Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. This is the promise of the Lord to you. No matter what you're going through, Can I encourage you? You may have heard the gospel many times. You may have heard the good news of Jesus Christ many times. And I want to believe that you're not here by accident. Yes, your friend invited you, your relative invited you, your spouse invited you, your colleague invited you. But today, I want to believe the fact that you are here is not because of their invitation, but because of a divine appointment with God. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I can tell you so many stories. There was this oil and gas guy from Australia. He married a Malaysian, and Malaysian girl is part of our church. So after she got married to this Australian guy, he brought him to see me in the office. And for 5 times, I met up with him. So many questions, you know. Arrogant man. Very oil and gas. Very arrogant. Wah, rah, rah, rah. So I said, come again. Let me talk to you. But after 5th time, he was still not convinced. So I told him, sir, you just come to the church. I'm not able to convince you, and I don't even try to. Just come and allow the Spirit of God to filter in and enter into your life. So he came. For 2 years, he came. And one day after 2 years, when I gave the altar call for salvation, he was sitting right at the back. He was the first to raise up his hand. And he ran forward, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And today, he's a leader in Perth. Amen. Come on, let's give God a good clap offering. Can I encourage you on this Easter Sunday? Let this day be a defining moment of your life. Your friends, your relatives brought you here, not because they love you and they want you to be saved. But more important than just pleasing them, I want you to be convinced that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, there is hope. There is peace, there is joy, there is purpose. You can laugh again. You can live again. You can love again. The second, I want to share this story about Eric. The picture on your right, that's him. When he was younger, he was seeking for the light, seeking for the truth. So he spent 2 years in the biggest temple in Thailand. To be a monk, to seek for the light and the truth. He was chanting everything, and what happened was that in that temple, there was another gentleman who was also seeking for the truth, a French Catholic priest from France who also shaved his head to seek for the truth, a French Catholic priest. And when these two met, who could only speak English, the Catholic priest introduced to Eric Jesus Christ. So when he came out of the temple, he began to seek more about Jesus. And today, after so many years, he found the light in Jesus Christ. That is him. This is last year's picture. There is joy. Look at his face. There is peace. His entire life is transformed. Why? Because he has found the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus. And not only that, recently he has been healed of psoriasis. Psoriasis is an autoimmune skin condition. It's very hard to heal. But God healed him as well. Not only save him spiritually, but save him also holistically. So I want to share this with you. The first implication and the reason why we celebrate Easter worldwide is because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And because he has been risen from the dead, Father God raised him from the dead, validated everything that he's done as complete. Literally what I said, God put his thumbprint onto what Jesus Christ had done and says, it is over. God put his imprimatur upon what Jesus Christ had done. And he says, yes, because of what you have done, salvation can come to everyone who believes in him. Come on, let's give God a good clap offering. The second reason is as important, if not more important, why we celebrate Easter and why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so, 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 so important to you and to me. It's not an event, it's not something impersonal, but it's something that will affect your life and my life, not only on this world, but in the eternity. And it's this. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, not only our sins can be forgiven, there is hope. Amazingly, our final enemy, death, has been conquered. This is something, an appointment, that every one of us, whether you are Mother Teresa or Billy Graham, whether you are rich or poor, how old, how young, it doesn't really matter. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. It is one appointment that every one of us, without fail, will meet one day. You know, I was a doctor before. I became a pastor. I've seen so many deaths. When I was the medical director of Tung Shin Hospital, besides being the obstetrician gynecologist, one of the first things I do every morning is to sign death certificates. I see so many deaths. And recently, a lot of people die. I don't know why. I don't know whether you notice it or not. Young people, could it be the vaccine? I don't know. You know, people blame the vaccine. And people with who had cancer in remission suddenly came back again, you know. Recently, a lot of these occurrences happened. Don't know why. But all the more important, I want and encourage you to take cognizance of what I would say to you. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He has conquered death. The last enemy, according to Paul, in verse 26 and 27 of 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why? Because Jesus has put everything under His feet. He has trampled death. We sang it just now. We sang it just now. And that is the reason why Paul continues to say, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. The tomb is empty. It's a fact. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The Bible calls death falling asleep, meaning that all of us will wake up one day. But what is first fruits? Why first fruits? It's in reference to the festival of the first fruits that in ancient times, the Jews celebrate the harvest. So when the harvest comes, the farmer would take the first sheaf of the harvest, bring it to the priest, and the priest would then wave it. Will then wave it as a sign and a symbol that this first sheaf is the beginning and represents all the millions of harvests in the harvest field. So when Paul says Jesus is the first fruit, in other words, whatever happened to Jesus as He raised from the dead is a prototype. It's a prototype. It's the beginning of many, many more who believe in Him. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we too will be raised from the dead. Why? Because He has conquered death. There is victory and hope for you and me. Come on, let's give God a good clap offering again. That's why it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to read this. We read it just now. Death has been swallowed up in victory. This is something I want all of you to take it very seriously. Remember, I was a doctor before, I'm a pastor now. He has no age, no boundaries. This is something that you and I will meet one day. And this is probably one of the most important messages you've ever heard in your life. And I want you, out of my love for you, my concern for you, the reason why I gave up my medical profession many, many years ago was because of what happened to my father. My father, Mr. Chu Kam Pok, was the first Director General of Telecoms. Some of you know who he is. A highly man of integrity. The first Malaysian Director General of Telecoms. At the age of 70 years old, after he retired from civil service, he had a heart attack and a stroke. He died. For 11 to 15 minutes, his heart stopped. And he took him to the Pantai Hospital in the Bangsa, and he resuscitated him after 15 minutes. And he came back to life. And I asked him, Dad, where were you? What happened to you when you passed? He told me he had an out-of-body experience. The Lord took him, first of all, to hell. He saw many of his friends there. He said, yes, I was there. And then he saw a hand coming down from heaven, lifting it up. He said, Kampok, your name is not there. He was lifted up to heaven. And he was in heaven for some time. And he saw the Lord. He saw so many things. But Jesus told him, I want you to go back. I want you to go back and you tell your friends, everyone, that hell is real, heaven is real, because you have been there and back. And it's because of what I saw in his life. I saw his eyes. It was true that I then began to revalue my own priority in life because of what happened to my father who died and literally came back to life again. I know that there is something more important than earning money. And I became a full-time pastor. So people ask me, Pastor, how do I know? How do I know that the gospel is true? I say, look at my life. You think I give it my life for nothing? No. No. You know, I've done so many wake services and burials since I became a pastor. Hundreds of them. And every time I go to this cemetery, and after completing all my proceedings and buried everything, I would spend some time just standing up at the hill and look around me. And I know that most, if not all of these people who have died in the Lord will rise again. That when Jesus Christ comes back, those who are in Christ, who died in Christ, will rise again. Because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, it says this. He says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fell asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. There is hope in Jesus. We believe that Jesus died and rose again so that we believe that God will also bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. In other words, those of us who believe in Jesus, when Jesus Christ returns, we will rise again. We will rise again. So, people ask me, Pastor, what will it be like at the resurrection of the dead? Good question. At the resurrection of the dead, the Word of God tells us, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable will be raised imperishable. It is raised, sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there will also be a spiritual body. This is the testimony of Paul, as he wrote in the Bible. And this is the message I want to share with you. That death is not final. It is not the end. You know, there was a young man. They was taking a shortcut home to the cemetery. And as he passed the cemetery, he saw a tombstone. And on it was written these words, friend, as you are passing by, where you are, once was I. But where I am now, so you will be. So be content and follow me. To which this young man took a piece of chalk and wrote under that inscription, to follow you, I will not be content until I know which way you went. Do you know? Do you know which way you go? Do you know? That's the crux of the question. Do you know which way you will go? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Nobody has ever said that. Only Jesus Christ is qualified to say that because he himself died, rose again. He is alive. He has conquered death. Only Jesus Christ himself can say, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And Jesus goes on to say, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And the same question that Jesus asked the disciples at that time. I ask you today, whether you are here physically or online or in the overflow room, do you believe this? And this is a very important question to settle. Believe me, your friends have brought you here. Your husband has brought you here. Your wife has brought you here. Your children have brought you here. Your colleagues have brought you here. Not to hear a message, not to be here physically for the sake of being here. No. So that you can hear this so important message. Your sins can be forgiven. All of us have done wrong. There is hope. There is purpose. There is life. More importantly, there is eternal. Someone has said this. If Christ had not risen from the dead, nothing else matters. But if Christ has indeed risen from the dead, then everything else matters. It's true. If Christ had not been risen from the dead, then millions of people who have died and believe in Him over the centuries would have been deceived, and they would have died in vain. No. Because Christ has risen from the dead, there is hope for you and for me. And this is what I want to share with you in a short while. I'm going to give the altar call. Many of you have heard the gospel many times. But today, that even as you are here at the invitation of your friend or your colleague or your parent or your loved ones, I want to believe that it is by divine appointment that you're here. And I want to invite you to think again. So that on this day, on the 31st of March, 2024, you make a crucial decision that will change the entire trajectory of your life. Because now you have peace. The peace of God and the God of peace will now guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And you have hope. You have hope, my friend. In a short while, I'm going to give the altar call. But let me close with this closing story. The year 1597 in Japan, when the Japanese were persecuting Christians, they marched 26 Christians, a lot Mexicans, Guatemalans, South Americans, Europeans, towards Nagasaki to be crucified on a hill. And among these 26 were three teenagers, aged 17, 15, and 12. The youngest one was 12 years old. And the captain of the Japanese guard took pity on this 12-year-old boy. He says, "Son, you're too young to be crucified. Renounce your Christian faith. Renounce it. And I will spare you." And Anthony Ibaraki, 12 years old, said this, "I cannot exchange life in the eternal kingdom for life on the earth. It is not reasonable to exchange a life that will soon finish with a life that has no end with the Lord." Why? Why? 12-year-old boy was convinced that Jesus Christ has conquered death. That death is not final. When Anthony Ibaraki reached the hill, he says, "Where is my cross? I'm ready." Today, if you go to the Nishiraka Prefecture in Nagasaki, there is a memorial. These are all young boys, one, two, three teenagers. Were they deceived? No. They were convinced. I want to share with you as I close. Over the years, I have lost many good friends, loved ones. I took a compilation of some of them. My classmate Dolly Chai just passed away about 2 months ago. She served the Lord in Cambodia as a missionary. And when she passed away, there was tremendous peace. There's Kevin, 30 over years old, died because he was saving a drowning man from drowning. The drowning man was Singaporean, was big size. And by the time he saved the man, he lost all his energy and he himself drowned. Middle one is my dad, my father. The one that I told you about, who went to heaven. And he came to me, "Son, heaven is real. Hell is real. Because I have been there and back. And he spent for the next 10 years going around the whole of Asia sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of his testimony, I gave up my life to become a full-time pastor. There is more to life than just being famous and earning money. The other two are my in-laws, Datin Lu and Datin Liu. The ones that tells me Christianity is for the weak. And yet when they became Christians, so much joy, I know, peace came to their lives. And they spend the remaining days of their life witnessing to all the MCA friends. And go on and on and on. This is my first cousin. She was the head of compliance of OUB in Singapore. My sister-in-law, my good friend, Kit Kwe. You see, the reason why I share this with you is because I miss them a lot. But I know I will see them again, friend. I will see them again. I will see them again. They're just gone ahead of me, that's all. And my prayer for you, even as your friend, your relative has invited you to come, is because they love you. Not because of anything. They are concerned for you. And I got my friend here, Tan Sri, who tells me, can you tell the people? He himself was a staunch supporter of the Baha'i faith, but today he accepted the Lord. He said, tell the people, you have nothing to lose. You have absolutely nothing to lose. And this is my close of my message, and I want to give the altar call now. You've heard the gospel many times, but today, don't do it because you want to please people. Do it because you know, and you know in your spirit, it's the right thing to do. Can I invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads? You know, I'm not feeling well. But I want to give my best for the Lord, understand? After this, I'm going to crash. I'm going to crash. But I know that this message is so, so, so important. That I want to give my best shot for you. So all eyes closed, all heads bowed. If you feel your spirit, God is speaking to you. Again, no hype, no sentimentality. Understand? If you feel a tugging in your spirit, man, it's not because of what I shared, but of the spirit prompting you. Make a choice. Decide. Not for only this life, but for eternity. At a count of three. All across the auditorium, whether you are here or in the overflow room. You know, those of you in the overflow room, God is there with you, understand? Even though physically you may not be in the main auditorium, because God is there with you, you also raise your hands. At a count of three, you raise your hands. Long enough, high enough for me to see. Most importantly, God sees your hands. And by raising your hands in a short while, no one looking around, you say, Pastor, pray for me. Because now I've made a critical choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. Finally, no turning back. No turning back. Over the last couple of days, people have accepted the Lord in so many ways, whether in the hospitality room or here. Whatever it is, my prayer for you is today, on the 31st of March 2024, your life will be completely transformed. There is laughter, there is purpose, there is peace, there is joy. Will you give permission for the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into your life and your family? At the count of three. One, two. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. Jesus says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. Whoa, I will come back and take you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. This is a promise of Jesus Christ, and his return is imminent. My prayer for you is today, you give your heart and your life to Jesus. You have nothing to lose. So at the count of three, you raise your hands high enough for me to see. Amen. 1, 2, 3. Can you raise your hands? Yes, I see that hand, sir. I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody in the back? Anybody in the back, front? Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand, sir. I see that hand. Yes. Because of the light, I may not see your hand in the floor. Now go look at the balcony now. No one looking around. Yes, I see that hand, sir. I see that hand right on the left, on my left. Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand on my right at the back. Yes. Hallelujah. Because the light shining on my eyes, I cannot see who you are. But I know that many of you have risen, raised up your hands. Many of you. In a short while, I'm going to call you out. And you come to my left. If you have brought somebody with you, you ask him or her, will you want to go out? I'll go out with you. Okay? He may not have the courage to do that. But this is the house of God. You are safe here. There is no shame, nothing. Nobody's looking at you, understand? The Bible says, heaven rejoices over one sinner that is saved today. Over this weekend, so many accepted the Lord. There's a big celebration. I'm in heaven because of you. So I'm going to ask you in a short while to come to my left. We will not help you. But I also want to give a second altar call. Why? Because Easter Sunday, I believe, is a time when God will now penetrate into the physical and heal you. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, by His stripes, we are healed. The blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross is not only for your salvation, it's also for your healing. So I believe that God can heal you of whatever ailments and diseases that you have. Diabetes, blood pressure, backache. More serious cases will be cancer. There's a patient, there's a person here. I don't know whether she's here in this service or in the 8:30 service this morning. She's got a very rare cancer called carcinoma of the bile duct, cholangiocarcinoma. That was several years ago. Today, the tumor markers are normal and she's healed. Only last 2 weeks ago, we had another member of our church that I visited last year because she had carcinoma of the rectum, stage 4. The whole carcinoma obliterated the lumen of the rectum. She had to have a colostomy done so that the feces can pass through. And today, after 1 year later, she told me her tumor marker has gone from thousands to 3.5, less than 5, better than mine. She's healed. Come on, let's give God a clap offering. It is true. It's not that God will heal everybody, but God can work a miracle. Will you allow Him to do that? Not only all these serious cases, but well, I was a gynecologist before. So I just want to give a call for gynecological problems. If you have a gynecological issue, one lady just recently told me, Pastor, do you know that I had a fibroid the size of an orange? I came to see you when you were practicing in Tongshin, and you told me no need operation, and we prayed, and today the fibroid has gone. God can heal, understand? God can heal. And I want to pray those of you with infertility. If infertility, many years ago, I made this call out of the blues. I said, amongst us, there are those of you who have no children, come forward, let me pray for you. And 4 couples came out. And I look at the 4 couples, I know 2 because they were my patients. And I know that impossible for them to become pregnant because the husband got no sperms. I said, God, finish. And I prayed for all 4 of them. And I said that by the end of the year, all 4 will become pregnant. By the 31st of that year, 3 became pregnant. And this is it. On the 31st of December that year, I received a text from the 4th person, Pastor, there are 2 lines. I am pregnant. All 4 became pregnant. So I want to pray. Because anointing is there, understand? I want to also want to pray for those of you with psychological, emotional issues. Recently, there are a lot of young people with emotional problems. But I want to believe that because you come to the Lord will give you the peace. The peace of God and the God of peace will be with you. Just only 2 days ago, there was this gentleman that came to see me. And I heard his testimony for 2 years. 2 years he had insomnia. 2 years. You know how how uncomfortable it is. You cannot sleep. At 2 a.m. you wake up, your eyes are open, and you try to sleep, and you look at the clock, it's only 10 minutes to go. And you thought it was ages, only 10 minutes. 2 years. It drove him crazy. He went to serious depression. He hid himself in the room, locked himself up, don't want to see anybody. But he told me that because of the prayer of the cell at Chinese New Year this year, suddenly he became peaceful. The peace of God flooded him. And today he said, I am free from my depression and I am healed. I can sleep like a baby. Come on, let's give God a clap offering. Yesterday, at the altar call, I prayed for a couple of young people who were depressed. I want to believe in Jesus' name that God can come into your life and free you from your bondage. Amen.